You would probably heard our comments there with the Australian cricket team. They had the talent before, but it seems like it's been harnessed correctly, and they look a really formidable side now.
Yeah, they do look a good side. I agree with you. It's probably the best attack in the world at the moment, and the batting has definitely solidified in the last 6 months or so. Manus, Labuschagne, and
yep.
Travis doing well. It's really topped it off. I mean, having Warner and Smith back obviously makes a difference, and I think we were probably a little bit overcritical when they were away. It was obviously going to affect Australian cricket for a while, but the beauty of it was an opportunity for others to get opportunities and hopefully improve, and that's what we've seen. So I think Justin and Tim have done a good job, but a lot of hard work behind the scenes as well, and having a bit of success also makes a big difference.
Gee, Greg, they're going to be embarrassed when Hazelwood is available. They've got a very, very great pace attack. Who misses out? They won't play four quicks. One's got to miss, and he's going to be dead stiff. I was most impressed with James Patterson.
Yes, Ken, he's a terrific bowler, and what an amazing comeback to him. After a broken back, basically, and he's had to have steel rods inserted in his back. Very few people thought he'd come back and bowl, let alone come back and bowl fast and aggressively like he did at the MCG. So what a problem to have. Better that than the alternative.
Exactly right.
Greg, we just spoke with KG about the series. It's great to see Australia dominating, but you want to see a bit more opposition. It's always nice to see a contest, whether it be football, cricket or whatever. How do you sit and watch it? Is that how you see it too? You'd like to see Australia win, but perhaps a better contest?
Yeah, that'd be ideal. It's a huge problem for cricket, really, in the sense that we've got three formats that all do well at the international level. There's not another game that can boast that. But it does put pressure on Test cricket in particular.
Exactly.
I know how much Cricket Australia spends on their development programs, including first-class cricket and so on. There's not many countries in the world that can afford to do that. And, we find it hard at times to produce, a competitive test team. So you can understand how other countries, and New Zealand being one of them, that, small playing population, not very much money to invest in the development of the game. I'm always, surprised how well they turn up with so many good players. You're up against one of the best bowling attacks in the world at the moment, and they're two best batsmen have struggled. So it does make it hard, but it just highlights one of the problems that Test cricket has. It's a lot easier to develop a competitive 20-over team and a 50-over team than it is to continually produce competitive Test teams. So aside from England and India, not anyone else can invest what Australia invests in cricket.
Gee, Greg, that's a real concern. I've been saying this for weeks and months now, that I fear for the future of Test cricket, because we need Pakistan up there, we need Sri Lanka up there, we need South Africa up there, we need the West Indies up there, and it's just not happening at the moment.
No, it's not, and I just don't see how they can consistently be competitive against the better sides with the restrictions that they have on the playing numbers in those countries and the amount of money that they've got to invest in developing cricketers. Cricket, particularly developing top-class batsmen, it's probably got to be the hardest thing in sport to become a top-class batsman, and it hasn't got easier with for the young batsmen coming through today. I think it's the toughest era to be a young batsman with, juggling three formats, trying to develop your game to be able to go across those three formats is probably more demanding than ever before.
Yeah, Greg, at last, someone has said it.
Greg, when we were taught to keep the ball on the ground, now you imagine the eight-year-olds are taught to hit it as far as they can, and suddenly they don't get the right technique, and that, to me, is a big problem too. They all want to make the big balls, which are on offer in the short format.
Well, that's the thing. Young cricketers want to play the reverse sweep before they've learned to play the cover drive. So it's that's what they see on TV, and that's what they want to emulate. Good on them. I mean, I love it in the sense that I think it's great to see what players can do, and you want you know, young players coming through now, you know, by the time they get to international cricket in another 10 or 15 years' time, it'll be a different game again. So, you know, the old days of teaching them left elbow up and forward defence is out the window. So trying to develop them, I think the biggest challenge for cricket is creating learning environments, training environments that more replicate the game. You know, going into the nets ad nauseum is not going to develop young batsmen.
Unbelievable. Greg, you've stepped down from being a selector. Will you have any involvement in cricket down the track?
Oh, absolutely, Ken. I'm still doing some work with Cricket Australia.
Good.
In the youth and development areas, and I'm doing some work at Prince Alfred College with their cricket program. So that keeps me plenty busy enough, and I enjoy it. You know, working with the next generation is the real, you know, the fun part of cricket, I think. Whilst I love the selecting and all of that, you know, working with the next generation is what
That's
I really
the
enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're talking to the great Greg Chappell. Greg, we've had a little bit of a discussion the last 50 years, the best bowlers, the best fast bowlers and the best batsmen for Australians. Gee, the fast bowlers, they're everywhere. I think Dennis Lilly was almost unanimous as number one, but then you had McGrath, Mitchell Johnson, Tomo, Gillespie, Brett Lee. What about the batting? Your name's obviously right up there, but who, from your point of view, or actually give us both your best bowler, and also we've got Ponting, you've got Smith, you've got Gilly, Steve Waugh, Mark Waugh, Hayden, Booney. Who's the best you've seen since you've left the scene yourself?
Oh, look, there have been a lot of good players, and blokes who perform at that level, you know, they're all good players. They've got to be, otherwise they
wouldn't be there.
They wouldn't be doing that. But, you know, I enjoyed playing with Alan Border. You know, fine player. You know, Steve and Mark Waugh, you've mentioned. Ponting, outstanding. You know, I always used to enjoy watching Ponting back. Gilchrist was so exciting. You know, what he could do with a cricket bat was exciting. And, of course, Steve Smith, all his idiosyncrasies aside, you know, really, he does a lot of things right. You know, you can get distracted by all the idiosyncrasies and you think, you know, he's not quite as technically as good as some others, but he does all the things that all the good players have done. At the point of release, you know, I'm only interested in looking at a batsman when the bowler lets the ball go. Where is he?
Yeah.
And what are his options once the ball's been bowled? And he's got plenty of options because he gets into good positions and he's obviously got a great mind. You know, the best players are the best thinkers and the best decision makers. You know, they don't make too many mistakes. And if you bowl a less than good ball, they punish it.
Exactly.
And you saw the entire DK Lilly career, so your best, you stood at first or second slip there. Is he the best you've seen as a fast bowler?
Look, yeah, great fast bowler. Yeah, I always keep saying that. I've got to be careful because, you know, Geoff Thompson was a unique bowler as well. He doesn't often get mentioned in the same breath as the other guys, but I haven't seen anyone bowl faster.
No,
gee. You know, for 2.5 years before he busted his shoulder in the collision at Adelaide Oval with Alan Turner, he was so far and away the fastest and one of the most accurate bowlers going around. It was scary to stand at slip and watching him bowl, let alone standing 22 yards away. I mean, I played against him for Queensland when he was playing for New South Wales, and I made sure that the next game he played in first class cricket was for Queensland because I didn't want to bat against him again.
Yeah. Hey, how's your golf going, just in closing?
That's what I'm glad you asked. It's going very well. Thanks very much.
What are you playing off now, Greg?
I'm playing off 5. So, it just shows that I'm getting older. I managed to break my age the other day. So
five.
The first time I've managed to do that, which was a great thrill.
Fantastic. Greg, appreciate your time. Give my love to Judy, your lovely wife, and we'll catch up soon, Greg.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you, David, and Happy New Year to you all and to your listeners.
Good on you.